Stop hurting America.
Okay. Now. Ben Carlin, his producer at the time, apologized to me about it and said, you know, John Roy looked like a jerk. That's not the word he used, but looked like, you know, he humiliated himself out there. And I agreed with that.
Hi, I'm Michael Moynihan with Reason TV, and today we are at the offices of the Daily Caller. And sitting with us is the editor-in-chief. Is that your title?
Editor-in-chief.
Among many. Winner of the Victoria Cross for gallantry, editor-in-chief, et cetera.
Tucker Carlson, yes. So, Tucker, tell us a little bit about the Daily Caller, what you're trying to achieve with the website, and just give us a sense of what your mission is.
Success is our mission. We're a news organization. We've hired a bunch of reporters to cover the White House and the Congress because we feel there's a big gap in the coverage. There are fewer people covering government at exactly the time when government is doing more than it ever has. So there's a need. We're not filling that need. We're doing our small part, but we're trying.
What differentiates this site from, say, the Huffington Post? I mean, why is somebody going to go? Is it a political thing? Is it slanted?
Well, I assume people would go to both.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, there aren't very many political sites or primarily political sites out there that are doing reporting. So it's not as if people are going to choose between us and the Politico or us and the Huffington Post. I mean, we don't really at this stage have competitors because there aren't so many people in the space at this moment. I think 10 years from now, when there are a lot of people doing this, we'll have competitors. But right now, the people at Huffington Post have been really nice and helpful to us, and same at Politico and TPM. And, you know, I personally do not share the politics of Arianna Huffington, to put it mildly. But we're, I think, trying to do similar things, trying to add to the reporting, to the known facts about how the government's working, and other things, too.
Looking around, trying to find negative comments about Daily Caller, and didn't find many, but there is a rather angry little fellow named James Walcott from Vanity Fair. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
I thought he wrote for Cat Fancy.
He does. He writes for Cat Fancy, too, but this is what he wrote for Vanity Fair. Tucker's Pringles can. I'm not sure I understand that joke. Mm. Tucker's Pringles can deploys other mind-nulling devices, such as as conceding space to a monotonous array of white-haired guys posed in front of American flags, presenting boring op-eds their congressional staffs probably drafted. Since the evidence of individual voices nil, the raison d'être, I think that he means the reason, of this site eludes me.
He really wrote that. He really used the phrase raison d'etre.
Yeah. He's from France. So tell us a bit about it. I mean, I looked at the site this morning, and the left-hand channel there you have opinion sites,
yeah.
And a lot of them from congressmen, senators.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some of them from members of Congress. I think our first day we had maybe a disproportionately large number of them. Absolutely happy to take interesting opinion pieces from anyone, including whoever this guy is. Truly, if you've got something interesting to say, you know, your personal appearance or hygiene or grooming habits are no barrier, honestly. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We're completely democratic that way. It just so happened that we had a lot of pieces from members of Congress, but, you know, our main goal in that section is to provide interesting opinions. Period. I mean, that's the sole criterion. So they don't always have to agree with my politics. My politics are so complicated that I don't even understand my own politics a lot of the time. So there's certainly no requirement that people ape my views.
Let's talk about that briefly. Your politics. You are a fellow at the Cato Institute.
That's right.
You.
I believe I'm a senior fellow.
You're a senior fellow at the Cato Institute.
So that
you were the you're an MC at the Ron Paul Shadow Convention.
Yes, I was.
You are a libertarian conservative, some hybrid.
I guess.
You guess. So?
I'm not really quite sure. Yeah. I have libertarian instincts, but I also have all kinds of views that are in conflict with one another. You know, for drug legalization, for instance. I mean, it's hard to believe that I despise laws that tell people that they can't do things for their own good. I mean, they drive me crazy. Seatbelt laws and. Et cetera, anti-drug laws. On the other hand, you know, I spent some time in Amsterdam, and I don't want to live in Amsterdam. It's awful. You know, it's depressing. And so there is a place where theory bumps up against reality, and I'm not always sure where that place is. but it exists. And so, you know, does that make me less doctrinaire? I mean, I guess I'm not very doctrinaire is the point I'm making. And I'm certainly willing, especially as I get older, to admit that I don't really know the answer to some questions.
I just mentioned you were the MC for the Ron Paul shadow convention.
Well, I know what I think about that.
Yeah.
I like Ron Paul, and I'm always willing to do something, you know, new and interesting, always, even if it's humiliating and stupid.
You walked out, though.
I didn't walk out. I really like Ron Paul, and I know Ron Paul, and I think he's a decent man, and I have a lot of respect for him. There were people at the convention, Jesse Ventura, namely, who got up and claimed that America or the Jews or some secret cabal was
probably
responsible
for
9/11. And, you know, everybody, I have a lot of trouble judging other people's lunatic political beliefs. I'm not very judgmental, believe it or not, at all, having been around crazy political beliefs my whole life, adult life, covering them. But that was too far from me.
So it was that event, it was Ventura.
It was that specifically. And I thought, look, I didn't, you know, get up at the podium and say, I'm out of here, this is too crazy. I didn't, you know, issue a press release.
I didn't
tell anybody.
No,
I was with my friend Matt Labash and I believe Dan Hayes, who's like a hippie cameraman for Reason, was there. I remember him backstage. And
I'm familiar.
A great American.
Great American.
And Labash said to me, did you hear what they in fact, Dan Hayes was interviewing me for Reason. And Labash comes up and says, did you hear what they just said? Or he just said, I said, no. He said, he's blaming, you know, 9/11 on the Bush administration or Israel or something. And I said, well, that's just too much. Let's just get out of here. So I told the organizer of the event, I'm sorry, I have to go. I'm not going to tell anybody. I don't want to make a stink. I like Ron Paul as a person, but I don't want to be associated with that. I mean, that's too much. You got to have some standard, and that's mine.
If you mention your name to people that aren't sort of deep in the weeds of politics or inside the Beltway people, they will most frequently associate you with what is the now infamous John Stewart appearance.
Well, I didn't get it. I'm a writer. I started out as a writer. I think of myself as a writer still, even though I'm not really anymore. But my mind works as most writers' minds do. I'm sort of literal in certain ways. I didn't even realize this about myself. And so I evaluate arguments pretty much on their own terms. Who's got a better argument? And I thought, and I've had bad arguments before, and I know when I've lost a debate, and I have lost, that's for sure. But I didn't lose that debate. I thought his argument was stupid. He's not stupid. He's talented. But I thought what he said was ridiculous. It didn't mean, it was just air. It didn't mean anything to me at all, and still doesn't. And so I didn't really get that I was perceived to have lost. It didn't even really occur to me. I thought in fact, Ben Carlin, his producer at the time, apologized to me about it and said, you know, John really looked like a jerk. That's not the word he used, but looked like, you know, he humiliated himself out there. And I agreed with that. But it became clear the next couple weeks, and I don't ever Google myself or pay a lot of attention to that stuff, but it became clear that the consensus was I had been beaten by John Stewart. And at some point, maybe a year or so later, stepped back and realized, well, John Stewart's just more famous and more popular than I am. I mean, that's just true. I'm much more successful than I am. So, you know, this is America, and majority rules, and the more popular guy wins almost no matter what he says. I'm not mad about it. It hasn't affected my life at all, really. Or maybe it has, but I don't care to think about how. But no, I think he won because he's more popular than I.
I mean, it was also at a time, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, where there's a sort of building anger against the Bush administration,
right,
against
that's
the Iraq
right.
War. And you, who were opposed to the Iraq War, correct?
I was opposed to the Iraq War, yeah.
Were the sort of John Stewart slapping around the right-wing media.
I hadn't even thought about that.
You were the conservative on the panel because it was you. Who else was
and
on?
And Begala.
Paul Begala, who was also slapped around a little bit in that, you know, and came to your defense, but you were the person that, in the end, it was Tucker Carlson versus.
Yeah, see, I'm not very self-aware at all.
Yeah.
So what you just said has actually never occurred to me, believe it or not, until right now. But I think there's probably some truth in that. I think I didn't vote for Bush. I didn't like Bush. I thought that Bush. Well, I know Bush, and I've always liked him personally to some extent. He's certainly a charming guy, but I thought he was a crummy president. I thought that from the very beginning. I didn't like his behavior on 9/11, fleeing from Washington. I criticized him throughout the whole 8 years, and from the right, by the way, from the libertarian right.
Tucker, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.